You don't live in the future, you live in the present.
Welcome back to the Jarcast, everyone. My name is Clyde Kauser.
And I'm Flora Tyler. And today we have Mr. Holt back on the Jarcast for the second time.
Happy to be back, folks. And just clarification, this is Mr. G. Holt, not the other B. Holt or any other variations of my original name.
So, Mr. Holt, where did you grow up and what was your life like growing up?
Grew up all over the place. My dad was in the military, so I was actually born in England and lived there for 10 months. And then we moved to St. Louis for 3 years, and then Southern Alabama for 3 years, and then Germany for 3 years, and then I ended up in Omaha, Nebraska, which is basically what I claim to be home.
So wait, what age were you in Omaha? What were you?
I was probably 11, I think, when I moved to Omaha. Okay. Yeah. So it was fun. It was like, it's weird, not like, especially like being at a place where, I don't know, most places where people have like friends from like, you know, 4 years old that they grow up with and they know, and it's like, first friends I have that I really remember are from like 11 years old, which I guess isn't a totally new thing, but it's weird not having like a place that I was, it took me a long time to call Nebraska home, but it was fun to be able to like travel and like see like a lot of parts of the world, like, so it was really fun.
Yeah, that's impressive. I did not know about that. Mm-hmm. So with your dad in the military, what was your family life like?
There are people who do the military as a job, and there are people who the military is their life. And my dad, it was more just like, it was his job. He was a physics major in college and just didn't exactly know what he wanted to do afterwards. And so he joined the Air Force, and he was an Air Force meteorologist. And so it was a much different life than a lot of people who are maybe like full-time like infantry or pilots or something like that. So I'd say the life with the military was pretty laid back. I think it was fun to have I think a job where you could, there's like just certain amounts of leave you could take, and we could take trips to like Switzerland, or we could take trips, you know, to my dad, my family, extended families from across the country. So it was just nice to have a job that you could kind of move around and go on all these things. So I loved it.
Yeah. Do you still travel a lot?
Try to as much as possible. I used to travel a lot, like over the summers. I would try to get around. It was no place really exotic. I was always trying to like go find friends from like college that are kind of like scattered across, you know, really really beautiful places in America, like the Midwest. And like, it's funny because I got to see a lot of towns that I normally wouldn't go to, like Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. There's a lot of places that are kind of have a bad rap for being just kind of nasty old Rust Belt towns. They're actually like really amazing when you get to like be in it for a while. Like, I would never probably have chosen to go visit one of those towns or like Louisville, Kentucky, but being there and yeah, it's fun to try. So I did a lot of like little American travels for a while, and then have been, Miss Holt and I have been trying to do some bigger ones. We went to England last year for a week, Germany for a week. We did Yellowstone, some backpacking this summer in Yellowstone, and Ireland's next on the trip docket. So.
Wow. What people would you say have had a big impact on your life? Who has been your most inspiring mentor?
I feel like just kind of because I'm moving around a lot, I don't know if I've had like one mentor that has followed me my whole life, but I can probably point to a couple. There was after my junior year of college, there was a I got plugged into this. It was a Christian sports camp for like urban youth from like the East Coast, and it was outside of Pittsburgh. And that was a really formative, I ended up going back seven summers after that, like, because I was a teacher, I could go back. And then my brother, B. Holt, also did it for, I think, 5 years, too. So we kind of got plugged into that, and there are just some really amazing people there. It's not like a normal camp job, I think, where it's, you know, like, I think of, like, tie-dye shirts and water balloons, sing kumbaya with s'mores. It was a bit more of a challenging experience, just based on a lot of kids coming from just kind of some backgrounds that needed a little bit of help, and there's some just crazy stories from that. But I think through that, just two of the leaders there, a man named Timotheus and then another guy named Aaron were two of like really big mentors in my life of, yeah, I think just modeling what it means to be a good, loving, kind person. Yeah, those would be probably the first ones that come to mind.
Well, going back a little bit, is there any reason your family landed in Nebraska at all?
The military told them to. They just sent them back there. And it's kind of disappointing going from, like, Germany to Omaha. Like, I didn't know anything about it. I end up loving it. Like Nebraska, as I'm wearing a Nebraska tie right now, because Nebraska is about to get smoked by Colorado tomorrow, but still can support them. But, yeah, landing in, like, the cornfield of Nebraska after being really proud to be a world traveler, and like I was just at a castle in Germany and now I'm in Nebraska. I remember the night we landed, there was like I think a dog food plant somewhere that when the wind caught just right, it would just waft like a processing dog food across the lovely plains. And I remember going that night and we like there was like some big issue with our hotel, and like I remember all the kids are sitting there, it smells like dog food and we can't get into our bad motel and we're in Nebraska. But that's how we ended up there. But I ended up loving it. It's an amazing place with amazing people. That's where we ended up. And then I think my family had been tired of moving around so much because it was like every 3 years, like we're getting to the age like where we had developed more friendships. Like when my dad finally retired 3 years later, I was 14. My younger sister was 12. My other brother was 10. And so it's like we're old enough to have friends that we wanted to be with, and I think the idea of moving again was hard. So we're just like, please, like we just want to stay here. Like this is where we want to plant down.
Yeah. As a younger person, would you have seen yourself teaching? Has this always been the job that you've wanted, or did you have other ambitions?
Yeah, I did not see myself teaching. I don't know if I didn't not see myself teaching. It wasn't like it's something I just had thought about much. I wasn't ever opposed to it. I've always enjoyed history specifically. I like to read. I was a kid who just like, you know, I'd just grab a book and I would just like stay up late in my bed reading as much as I could, or just like everywhere I try to read. And I enjoyed it. And then I really developed like an enjoyment of history. I don't know, maybe it's because like being in places like Germany where I could like see older things. But I think for a long time, the top three when growing up were archaeologist number one. So again, the history thing, a paleontologist. I've talked with Mr. McClatchy about this. Don't worry. And then a geologist. I loved rocks. I just love finding rocks. Maybe all little boys want to be a geologist at some point. Thinking about the Tom Sawyer quote, there comes a time in every rightly constructed boy's life when he has a raging desire to go search for buried treasure, and that was me every day. But I think slowly over time, once I got into college, I didn't know what I wanted to do actually. And I remember my senior year at Hillsdale. It was getting into springtime, you know, the time when you like need to find a job, and they had some job fairs around, and there was one that was like a local job fair for the Great Lakes region. Like an hour away, and so I went there, and it was this big convention, and it was like a bunch of people in like sales and management and like advertising, just kind of like normal jobs. And I walked around, interviewed, and having like literally no idea of what I was like. I know I like working with people, like I enjoy that aspect. So like, what can I do? Like maybe marketing, maybe advertising. And it was okay, and I was like, okay, yeah, I can maybe see myself working in some of these places. And then Hillsdale hosts a classical school job fair every year. And they have like 40, 50 schools from all around the country that are just like classical, private, charter, just some public school. Like it's all sorts of schools come in and and look for student teachers. There was no education program at Hillsdale. I was just a history major. And so of course when anyone asks you like, oh, you're a history major, what are you gonna do, teach? It's like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But I hadn't really thought about it too much. But then I remember going to the job fair and getting to talk to these different people about schools, and it just changed the way I was like that. What I wanted to do, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to talk to other people about this. I want to talk to like students about this, because I had gone to like a big public high school that was like I think it was 640 people in my graduating class, and it was really fun. I loved it. I had a great time there. But when I got to Hillsdale and I experienced classical education for the first time, it was just something that was like categorically different. And it was hard to explain what a shift it was to do that. Just the way, the things that were being asked of me, the way I was having to interact with things and ask questions of myself, was totally new. Like at my public school, and again, it was a good public school, I enjoyed it. But it was things like my AP Lit class was just like, let's look at the syntax and the diction and the imagery in this. And it was like, there's no analyzing it for like anything other than just, I didn't love it. I was like, oh, this is all there's to English. Like, you know, whatever, I guess it's fun, I guess. But then going to, and like just like reading books and discussing them and just kind of having I remember reading Pride and Prejudice and Crime and Punishment for the first time. And that was, and I loved reading, but reading those the first time was like, oh my gosh, like this book I feel has like changed me and shown me something about myself. Not the axe murdering part of Crime and Punishment, but there were just some great thoughts there. Yeah.
So most teachers at the school went to Hillsdale, but what brought you specifically to Hillsdale from Nebraska? It's
a
big public high school.
Yeah, I'd have to owe Mr. Sheps this. I was looking at going some. I had no desire to go to the South. My only experience with Georgia was driving through. My mom's family's from Florida, and so we drive through Georgia every year. And my only memories of Georgia were getting stuck in Atlanta traffic. And I think I kind of associated Atlanta with kind of what I see now as kind of like southern Georgia, like Tifton, Valdosta area. And I was just like, I'm not interested in miles and miles of like abandoned auto shops and sun-baked strip malls. Like I'm going to stay north. But I was looking around, and then Mr. Sheps, he had interviewed with Atlanta Classical at the same job fair, and I didn't even go to their booth. I was looking totally elsewhere. And Mr. Sheps had some connection. I think his dad and his uncle had gone to Georgia Tech, and he had some relatives that live here, and he'd been familiar. Actually, had known Mr. McClatchy when Mr. McClatchy was still a student, and had been able to visit down here. But yeah, he's just like, hey, Dion, you should come to Atlanta with us. And we had another friend who was going down. And I didn't really know many of their teachers at this point. I knew who Miss Ham was. I didn't know some of the other ones. Like I didn't even know Miss Flynn at the time, even though we'd been going to the same small college together. But I was like, yeah, like, I think I want to do something with friends and people I care about. I talked to one of my professors who I really trusted. I was like, hey, you know, Dr. Gaetano, here are my two choices. I'm thinking about either going to Boise, Idaho, or thinking about going to Atlanta. And he's just like, and I was like, yeah, Boise sounds really cool. It's like up north and there are mountains and there's, you know, it's fun. And then Atlanta, it's like, I have some friends there. And he's like, just go where your friends are. He's like good experiences. He goes, you should have them, but as a lifestyle, they're overrated. Like, you need to be with people you love and care about. Like, that's, it's like, yeah, that's what I want. And again, I've never regretted that decision. So I have to thank Mr. Sheps for that.
So how does it feel to finally be teaching high school after teaching fifth grade for 9 years?
9 years, yeah. It's a change. It is. It's really fun. I really enjoy it. I think in ways that I had expected, it's really amazing. And there are things about fifth grade that I still really miss, but it's really fun to be able to talk with high schoolers on a different level than you can in the elementary school. It's also fun to really kind of dive into a topic in a way that is challenging, both for myself, it's like to have to think about these things and to get to reread things. You're just asking different types of questions, right? You know, when you talk about, I guess I experienced it sometime in the 11th grade too, but like when you introduce a subject, it's usually the first time like the fifth grader's ever heard of it. It's like they don't even have a box in their mind for the Renaissance. Like, it's like they maybe have heard the word, but they don't really know what it is. And so you get to like, okay, this is like pretty simple. We're gonna lay out the groundwork. It comes after this. It's these other type of people, on and on. Which when you get to the 11th grade, it's hopefully you guys already have at least, you know, maybe you don't remember a ton about it, but you at least have the framework where you're like, oh yeah, okay, like Renaissance, like something's being reborn, yeah, okay, that was like after the medieval period. Like, even if you have like any loose associations with it, you still have somewhat of a box there for it. So it's been fun to come back into the 11th grade and kind of like start adding on to things, even if we don't know, you know, a ton about the House of Burgess before you get to 11th grade, you're like, oh, like, Virginia, pilgrims, settlements. Like, I have an idea of what that is. One of the differences, I think I've probably told you guys in class before, there's so much joy and just energy in the fifth grade. Like, they're just like trembling all the time, just waiting to talk. Like, even when they have no idea what they're gonna say, it's like, you know, 23 of the 27 hands are up all the time, just waiting to pipe in. Even if you're like, yeah, you know, Joe, go. He's like, oh, I forgot the question, I'm sorry. And, you know, then it's trying to coax a little bit more out of, you know, it's early in the morning, I guess, at first and second period, so it's trying to zap a little more life into that. But I've really enjoyed it. It's just fun to have, I think, just a different level of conversations with students in the halls, and to feel, yeah, it's just a different part of the life in a way where you're kind of just like containing the energy in the fifth grade, just kind of directing it in good channels where you get to kind of be a little more involved in the life of high schoolers.
And you teach U.S. history. Is there any specific reason for U.S.? Is that like your favorite type of history to teach, or most knowledgeable in the subject? Or?
I like to think of myself as the most knowledgeable in any subject here. I actually had taught. I'd say equal early American history is probably one of my favorite eras, from kind of founding through like Reconstruction. Feel pretty good about. I also love ancient and medieval history. That's probably where I feel the strongest. I think it just happened that the U.S. spot opened, and, well, with Mr. Bencourt leaving, Miss Jackson is more of a modern European person. Like, that is the one that I am absolutely the least acquainted with. I'm sure I know more than the average person, but not enough. So Miss Jackson was happy to go up there, which opened up the 11th grade spot for me to take over. But yeah, I think I've always loved like American frontier history. So it's like this part of it now is like, I just wish I could just like stop in this like 100-year span where we are right now and just like not move forward and just spend the rest of the semester on it, which isn't viable. But this is what I love right now. We're doing.
Do you have any other passions or hobbies that we would not expect other than history?
I don't know how not expect. Most of my hobbies, I feel like people probably know about. Nebraska football is one people sadly know about and they mock me for it.
Tea.
I love tea. Yes, I have some East Frisian tea here from Harney & Sons, loose leaf. It is supposed to be good on cloudy, rainy days, which today is not, but it's a nice, rich, robust blend. I like tea a lot. I love soccer, love coaching soccer. That's been something that like, I have realized how much, didn't realize how much I love is coaching. Have a blast with that. I really enjoy gardening when I can. Living in an apartment is kind of hard. I do what I can with the plants I have available in the space. I do enjoy gardening. I love going hiking and camping. But again, those are all things. I'm trying to think of anything if I have anything that's like, I can't think so. Oh, gardening though, on the subject of this. Mrs. Holt and I were in Phoenix visiting her family this summer, and we went to this amazing like farm in the desert, and they were growing these desert passion fruits, and so we took one back, and so we have this giant desert passion fruit in our in the front of our complex got a giant trellis, and the vines are creeping everyone, and they're starting to create passion fruit in Georgia, which is really exciting.
I've heard you host like tea parties with. Was it alumni and other teachers? Something like that?
Yeah.
So how did that start? Just...
So it called Tea Time, and one of my proudest achievements. It started one week when it was like just right when you get the Sunday scaries, like it's Sunday and you're just kind of dreading Sunday night and you're dreading kind of the week ahead, and it was just kind of me and a couple folks from that lived by, like when Mr. Shepsley, you know, lived by, or the Andrews and some other friends, and so I was like, just come on over guys, we're going to I'm just gonna light a bunch of candles in my house and make a lot of tea and some baked goods, and we're just gonna like relax to some like soothing I like bluegrass music. I can't play it. That might be another little hobby that I've been on recently, because I like listening to bluegrass music, and just listen to bluegrass music. And it was just incredibly relaxing. You know, I was like, oh wow, like I don't just like stop thinking ahead, just focus on the moment, and it was great. And then it started being a weekly thing where we started doing it, and then it just eventually started inviting more people. And then doing it every week was a little crazy after all, so it was turned into a little more sporadic once a month. But yeah, I just wanted to just like send an open invite to as many people as I knew, like people who were like, you know, eventually once we had alumni at the school, inviting them. So try to do like an alumni event like in the summer, in the winter, whenever folks are back to see them, to come back home. And yeah, it's try something to do. Just it's just a fun opportunity to bring, I think, people from all parts of my life, whether it's from school as like teachers or school parents from school, or people from like my church or the soccer team that I play on, or I love bringing people together to meet and to have fun. And so, yeah, that's how that once a month still had at my apartment.
You are one of the few teachers who have been here all 10 years. Mm-hmm. How, in what ways have you seen the school change and grow?
Wow, that's a big one. The progress of the school has been really amazing. I think I think the fact that there are still like that still continues to attract people from like people move to Atlanta to work at the school. Like I think sometimes like as I guess the only school I've ever worked at, I think sometimes I don't fully appreciate how special it is. I think I can appreciate the academics from the perspective that I had, like high school, that like I had the big football experience. I had activities to do, I guess. And like I would have chosen this every time now that I know this is here. And I hear similar experiences from teachers. Like some teachers who have like people who have come and like visited the school, like applying for jobs, have literally started crying like after walking out of class and being like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like I've taught at school my whole life and I've like never seen anything like this before. And so I think just like, you know, going back, like it's funny to watch how I think like, you know, so many of the people who led the school, like were my mentors, like Mr. Lambert. Learned so much from Mr. Lambert when he was here, about what it means to lead well and what it means to, you know, to teach when and just run an institution and carry yourself. But I think each of those people, like Dr. Moore, Mr. Lambert, Mr. Knowles, like all contributed something uniquely to the character of the school. Like I think Dr. Moore just had such an amazing image of what he thought a classical school should be. He's like, hey, we're gonna stick to this. This is what we're going to do. And this is what a classical school should feel like. And then Mr. Lambert came in and really was able to institute a lot of systems and organize and streamline and like provide structure for things, kind of take this spirit and kind of really funnel it into something that we could continue with. And then Mr. Knowles, just under his wisdom and his thoughtfulness, just being able to kind of carry us through like a hard thing like COVID was like, right? Imagine that being your first or second year on the job, is you have to navigate a school through COVID. And just like his kindness and thoughtfulness carried through. And now like Mr. Andrew coming in and just kind of having a vision for what he wants education to be, and kind of like, and just continuing to run on off the foundation that everyone else has had. And I just think, I think the school kind of, again, it's like we talk a lot about the first couple years of the school, kind of like first years of anything. I don't know, it would be funny to talk to like the original students, like the graduates, like what did it feel like for you guys? Because it was like totally magical, totally wild for the teachers. Like we're just creating this right now. Like I had to come in and like you have to teach fifth graders these things. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make slideshows and I'm going to like get some books and do these things. And then just to watch it just kind of, again, just I think just become something that slowly is becoming an institution, something that will outlast I'm not saying I'm leaving, I'm saying if I left, if Mr. Andrew left, like if you know, Miss Ham, Miss Huff, like, you know, think about any of the other teachers who have been here for a long time, like the school is something that is carrying itself along at this point in a way that's really amazing. That's like, I think even in a way the students, like you guys, even if you don't realize it, like if none of this year's teachers came back and next year and you guys had a whole new set of teachers, like obviously things would change, but like you guys would know what ACA should be like, and you know the things that the interactions you should be having and what classrooms should feel like. And I think that's really special to have a place that at this point has kind of been able to build upon like transitions of leaders and like kind of going through, you know, things like COVID and kind of still continuing to keep its aim and mission has been really amazing.
And I've heard stories of that first year being pretty hectic and
yeah.
You had a lot of work to do. Do you think having to really build it up from the foundation helped you become a better teacher and a better friend and stuff like that?
Yeah, your family would have definitely experience with the first year. We're working there in the first year. It really did. I think you have, the school demands a lot from you, right? Especially in the first year of it. It's like I just spent a lot of time at the school, like grading late or going to events. And it was hard, but it's so fulfilling. I do think it made me I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm sure it made me a better teacher. I wish it's like so much easier coming into 11th grade than having all of like Miss Jackson's help and Mrs. Stone's help of like, oh, here's how we taught this. So I would prefer that. I don't know if I could even pinpoint the exact ways of being there for, other than just like I got to enjoy it. Like I got to enjoy kind of the magical madness that was the first couple years of the school of figuring things out. And I think just like what the thing that I took away from it most is just like really being able to build connections with a lot of the families that like I now have taught four of their kids. You know, I taught the oldest one when they were in fifth grade. Now I've taught four of them, or I guess I've known the family for 10 years now. And the teachers, like the president of my college always says like, you know, like I'm going to butcher this, but it's like true friendship and the best bonds are built when you are pursuing the highest things together. And it's like, I think that's what happens at ACA is we're pursuing the highest things together. When you do that in such close proximity, in such close community, it builds like special bonds and friendships and relationships between everybody involved.
What is one virtue that you live by the most? Or a couple?
Or all of them. I like to think that I'm probably the most humble person here. Humility, for sure. I think probably, I feel like this is in some ways a self-praising question, but I like to think either courtesy or service. Like I love teaching. Like I love the material, but I love being with students. I love being able to talk to people, to be able to share these books and these documents, and to just have the experience with them. That's why I love coaching. I love being able to go through like highs and lows with people, and we have just like amazing memories that I think that's what I love. And so I like to think that courtesy and service, where I can, you know, help be a service to the school by planning things, by helping out other teachers, by being courteous, like just saying hi and being cheerful to the people I see during the day. I think courtesy, and as Mr. Andrew always says, service is one that kind of gets looked over a lot. Just like, it's an action. It's not really a virtue in the same way. Like, and like, I think courtesy often gets looked over too. Sometimes it's like, oh, you're just like saying please and thank you. You're just like, you know, this is pretty like surface level things. But I always like would encourage my fifth graders, like courtesy is actually like, it's like a disposition of your heart and mind toward other people. It's saying like, I value you enough that I'm going to go out of my way to make you feel like wanted and loved and cared for. And I think that's one thing that I try to live by, even if imperfectly at times.
Yeah. And so just going back a little, you're married to Ms. Hopperidge, now Ms. Holt, mm-hmm. and she's from the Southwest, right?
Yes.
Arizona. Have you ever really been to the Southwest before that, or now are you going all the time? Or
yeah.
Do you like the Southwest?
I had never been before. I think when we were dating, I flew out to see her family in Phoenix. And it was like, yeah, I'd never been. It was like Mars landing in Phoenix. Like, oh, this is why they call it the Valley. It's it's just this rocky, red, deserty. I mean, if you've been in the desert, it's the desert, I guess. I'd never been before. It felt like I was in an Easy Bake Oven. I was like slowly dying. But you get used to it. It's the cliche. It's a dry heat. That only holds up to a certain level. Once it's like 110, it's 110 either way. I've loved it. It's such a unique environment to be in, and we like hiking and stuff, so it's fun to kind of go on hikes in the desert. You have to, you know, pack a lot of water and make sure you're done by 11 o'clock or else you fry. But it's a fun place. We get to go back a lot. True, try to go back a couple times a year, and just kind of explore around, visit her family. So
if you could live in any time period in history, what time period would you live in?
Three. This is cheating. I'm giving you three. This will show you my favorite period of history right here. Like what I love. I love, like, and again, I have the idea here that it's like, oh, these are, like, really beautiful moments. It's like, yeah, I'd probably die of, like, you know, diphtheria or, like, dysentery by the age of, like, 35 or something, like most people did there. But still, I think it'd be cool. Probably, like frontier America. Like, frontier, not pioneer frontier America, but, like, or not, like, 1800s Oregon Trail, but kind of, like, early, like, late 1700s, pushing west through the Appalachians. Like, just that era of American history, just when it's, like, I think as we talked about, it's, like, this, for them, they have this, just, like, what would your view of the world have been? You have this, like, continent that you don't know what's out there, and you're, like owning land and a farm, and you're participating in the government there. And just, like, it was the most, you know, one of the most literate eras in world history up to that point. And so, I don't know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of, like, beauty and culture I associate with kind of, like, that, like, northern Appalachian feel. And just that era of American history. And then I'd probably say ancient Near Eastern history. Mm-hmm. Like, ancient, I'd probably just say, like, ancient, Turkey's a place I've always wanted to go, so kind of, like, the Greek Isles around, like, Turkey, that era of, like, 400. I just think it'd be fascinating. I think the architecture is beautiful. I think there's a way that, like, the culture had an idea of, like, right, of, like, beauty and arete and excellence that they would have of, like, we're going to construct these temples in really, like, difficult places because it's beautiful. And, like, I think that would be really fascinating. And then probably somewhere, again, even though it would be horrific to actually live in it, somewhere in medieval Europe, just to, like, what would it be like to be, like, actually, like, in a medieval cathedral, like, at a mass or something, or, like, during some, like, giant festival. I think it's kind of the cultural things. You're like, well, what would that feel? Yeah, what would that look like with the architecture and the society? Just, it's so foreign to what I'm used to today. So those are my cheated three answers there instead of one.
Well, I think that's all we have for you.
Well, I have questions for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Okay, wow, jeez, that ends on me so quick. Are you guys the first junior Jarcasters?
Yes.
Yes, this year we decided, Jack and Lucy selected us because they wanted us to, and Dr. Farmer agreed on this too. I think it'd be better because juniors might not seem like it. We might have a little more time than seniors, or we might be a little more focused on the work. And so we thought it might be better if we started a little bit earlier, and then we go actually into senior year about halfway so that we can teach the next juniors that are coming up how to do it. And so just make it more fluid instead of second half of senior year where we don't really focus on it. We just thought this might actually produce more episodes. And
yeah, and for those listening, there's actually 4 hosts, not just us two, so there will be an episode coming out weekly.
Wow.
Because there's more of us.
Wow. There are dozens of us. No, it's not dozens. That's true. But so, wow, that's kind of an honor to be the first juniors to do this.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Happy to have you guys on board.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to end the Jarcast with a good question. What is your best piece of advice for the listeners?
Ooh.
Life advice, anything.
I think just because it's on my mind, because I just talked to you not too long ago with a freshman, is to be present in wherever you are. It's so easy to be anxious and to be looking ahead all the time to, like, the weekend, like, the end of the day. And it's like, you don't live in the future, you live in the present. How am I going to finish this? How am I going to do this? Or worried about something in the future. It's like, all I can deal with is now where I am. And I just feel like that allows you to, like, appreciate just the beauty and the little things. Like, when you guys graduate from here, like, you'll remember, like, big things like proms, hopefully, or like maybe some sporting events and stuff. But like probably the pervading memory will just be like walking to classes or sitting on the veranda for lunch and just kind of like much more mundane memories than you probably imagine. It's like those are most of your day. Like enjoy that living it. So I just told, I didn't have that. Like that's just, I told the freshman. That's why I was on my mind.
Well, thank you for coming on today. It's been an honor.
Thank you so
guys.
Much.
It's been a blast.